I'm excited about this Christmas morning. I've been excited about this Christmas season. And so we're going to do a few more things this service, some special things planned. But I just wanted to talk for a few minutes and look at the Christmas story. Then, Lord willing, we're gonna sing some songs and light some candles and, God willing, not burn the building down, all right? So it's going to be a fun morning with us. But the Bible prophesied that Jesus' name would be Emmanuel, God with us. And that's what our series has been this whole month. It's been Emmanuel, God with us, looking at Jesus coming down to earth, being with us. And Christmas is all about you and I experiencing the power and the presence of God in our lives. Christmas is that moment, that point where God stepped down and dwelt with humanity. That's what the Christmas is. And so there's so many things, though. If you look at the Christmas story, I've been kind of reading it this week. And I know some of you, maybe you read it on Christmas morning or you look at it or you just remember it because you've heard it so many times before. There's so many things in the Christmas story that try to derail it from happening in the first place. I try to stop it. And you look at even just Mary and Joseph, and that's kind of where I want to focus today, because you look at just their relationship. They were engaged to be married. And in that culture, that actually was being married, right? They'd already exchanged vows. They said that's how serious it was to them. And so you look at their relationship, and in the middle of all that, Joseph finds out that Mary's pregnant. And you can imagine just the hurt or the anguish that he feels, or the confusion that he feels about his life now, about the plans that he has. And maybe for you, Christmas is a painful reminder of expectations that you had for a relationship or for a friendship or for something in your life. And at Christmas, sometimes those pain and those feelings of pain can be magnified. Those feelings of loss, a lot of times around the holiday, that kind of thing can come to the surface. Areas of your life. Or Mary and Joseph, they said yes to God's plan for their life, and they moved on, and then they face all these adversities and these hardships, and suddenly they come up against it all, and sometimes those moments can be so discouraging, wondering where is God in the midst of it. And then the loneliness in Bethlehem, when they do get there and they have to go to the stable, and just that crushing loneliness sometimes that we deal with at Christmas time. I think it's pretty easy for all of us to find something that we relate to in the Christmas story. To find something that we can relate to along the way with Mary and Joseph. And maybe you've been in, like I said, you've had an expectation dashed, or you've had a relationship where you felt betrayal, and you've had that feeling of betrayal, that feeling of loneliness, that feeling of being hurt like that. And so at Christmas time, that comes back up. But I told you, Christmas is about feeling the presence and the power of God in our lives. In the Old Testament, Matthew chapter 1, I want to read our series verse. It says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The presence, the power of God in our lives. No longer God on the mountain, no longer God in the temple, no longer God behind the veil, no longer God in the cloud, no longer God in the pillar of fire. God with us. God with us. That's what Christmas is about. I'm not saying don't enjoy Christmas. Go and do all the things, give gifts, have a great time, but remember, it's God with us. And so as we study the Christmas story, I think there's things that God has for us. And so I'm going to give you three of them this morning, because I'm a preacher and everything comes in threes. And so I've got 3 points for you this morning before we light these candles, all right? Three things that I think we can learn from the Christmas story. Number one, I think the first lesson we can learn that God wants to do in our life, if we let him touch us, is that we'll begin to love deeper. We learned that last week, to see people with different eyes. I think this is Joseph's story. A little more context for Joseph and Mary for their marriage, because it's completely different than the culture maybe that you're used to here in America. It's completely different than maybe what you would imagine. See, for them, marriages were arranged, and so Joseph would have had to save up money, would have had to work his entire adult life, he would have had to save up money in order to purchase, because there was a fee for the bride. And so he'd have to negotiate that price with the bride's father, and so they were in an arranged marriage, and it would have cost Joseph a lot of money to get married. And he had to earn that money. No doubt he had amazing expectations now for what his married life would look like. He had amazing expectations now that he was going to marry Mary. And that would his life as he launched into his carpentry business or whatever it was they were going to do together. He had amazing expectations. And suddenly they find out Mary's pregnant. And Mary's saying, Joe, it's not what you think, right? I probably, it's the Holy Spirit. And we know he didn't buy that, right? Because it says that he had plans to put her away quietly, to divorce her. And so it's interesting detail about Joseph's love for Mary and about his character, because the Bible says that he was going to put her away, going to send her home quietly. He was going to send her home. It's important to understand that culture, because Joseph could have exposed it publicly. And he could have exposed it publicly, and Mary would have paid the ultimate price for that sin, and she would have been stoned to death. But Joseph would have gotten back all the money for his down payment on Mary. Sounds romantic, doesn't it? Right? I'm painting the romantic Christmas story for you. But he doesn't do that. He could have done that, gotten back all his money and gone out and married somebody else. But now that he's decided to do this the honorable way, he's gonna send her home quietly. He could have gotten all his money, but now he can't just get married again. He's worked all this. So his view of the future, his expectations of what is going to happen in his life are completely dashed. Everything that he's planned for are dashed. And so he has to start over. And somewhere in the midst of that, God moves in Joseph's life. He appears to him and he tells him through an angel to believe Mary's story and to be the earthly father of the Christ child. Changes Joseph's heart. He reveals that to him. And I believe it's the same thing God wants to do in your life and my life this Christmas. Because the truth is, we're going to have great capacity to love people. If there's one thing that we need to learn at Christmas, is we're going to need great capacity to love people. I told you again, you learned it last week, to look at people with different eyes. Because reality is, life is full of failed expectations. If you've ever been in a relationship or a friendship with anybody at all in any regard, you know that people are going to disappoint you. You know that people are going to let you down. In fact, it may sound offensive to you, but relationships are just a series of failed expectations. Anybody who's married, it's too sad to say amen because your spouse is sitting right next to you, right? But it's true, no matter how good their intentions are, no matter how much they love you, no matter how pure their intentions are, people are going to let you down. He had more hair when you got married, right? She was a little slimmer when you got married. I'm preaching this morning. Don't say amen, all right? I'm just going to leave that. There's a verse somewhere. They're going to let you down, all right? People, it's just expectations are going to let you down. The only way to sustain relationships is to allow God to touch us, to allow Him to let us love deeper. Reality is, where all of us are in relationship with people who will let us down. Some of you are about to spend 48 hours with people that you have avoided all year long. You can't laugh too hard because you might have brought them with you this morning, all right? You might. Amen, brother. I'm just going to amen myself up here this morning. 1 John 4:19, it says, we love because He first loved us. We love because He first, it enlarges our capacity to love. When God touches us, when God moves in our lives, it enlarges our capacity to love others. That's the story this Christmas, that we could love deeper. The second thing I believe He wants us to be able to do is to look closer at the circumstances that we're walking through in our lives. To look closer at the circumstances. Mary and Joseph, they say yes, all right? They say yes to God, to His plan to bring the Christ child into the world. And there is so much opposition and adversity that comes along with that decision. They think, well, all right, we're going to say yes to God's plan. So come on, put us on that fast track to, you know, clouds and glory and just sitting pretty. And so much adversity hits them as soon as they step into that. So they're probably feeling pretty discouraged when all of a sudden the Roman government decides everybody's got to go back to their hometowns to be taxed. They've got to head back to there. And so Mary and Joseph have to head to Bethlehem, 9 months pregnant. And there is no way to sugarcoat this story. 4 days on a donkey, 9 months pregnant is bad. It's just bad. Like there's no, I can't come up here and show you a flannel graph that looks amazing. It's any husband who's had their wife 9 months pregnant knows that this is bad. There is intense fellowship going on, all right, on this donkey all the way to Bethlehem. 4 days, 9 months pregnant. Mary and Joseph are working some things out. Probably have some things there. They're probably lifting up to God too and just praying. It's just bad. And so probably somewhere in this journey, they're feeling like this can't be God's plan. This can't be for us to go through this. If we're carrying the Savior of the world, this can't be in His plan. What is happening to us? And yet a closer look at their story reveals there's a 700-year-old prophecy that says Jesus has to be born in Bethlehem. And so God is orchestrating the events of their lives, even in this adversity, so that they can deliver the Christ child into the world. He's using the 4 days, 9 months pregnant on this donkey so they could deliver the Christ child. When our little girl Hava, when she was born, we went to Ashner over there and we're all ready. We're going to have our little girl baby. We're ready to go. And we get there and they say, we're full. And I said, you're a birthing center. You don't get full. Like, my wife is having a baby right now. And you know, it's our, you know, our last child. And so we're, God willing, it is our last child. And so we're waiting till the very end to go and deliver this child. And we're there and they're like, we're full. And my wife's the sweetest and just picture of serenity. And you give us a room, we're going to have, if men had babies, it would be a whole different whole different scenario, all right? We'd have over-the-counter epidurals. We'd have, you don't even understand, but my wife's just smiling, you know, she's going through the thing, and I'm screaming, I'm about to go off the wall. They found us a room, all right? We didn't go in a stable, they found us a room. But Mary and Joseph, they go through these hardships. She goes on this, and they're thinking, this can't be God's plan. But God says, I'm orchestrating things because the Christ child needs to be born in Bethlehem. I think sometimes we have a bad habit of looking through a very natural lens at our lives. Instead of looking closer at our circumstances, looking closer, seeing what God wants to do in our lives, we look through a natural lens and we look at the world around us, what we perceive to be the facts. And we think, well, this can't possibly be God's plan. And we begin to think, well, God's plan must be in jeopardy. What God wants for my life must be in jeopardy. That somehow because we're walking through hardships, that God's plan for our life can't happen. That we said yes to the Savior, so what is all of this? I'm here to tell you that natural perception only defines the past. It's our faith that defines our future. It's our faith that defines how His plan is going to work out in our lives. We begin to look at life through a totally different lens. 2 Corinthians says we fix our eyes on not what is seen, because that's the earth around us, that's the temporary. But when what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. What is unseen is eternal. That's what determines your future. So we look at our lives through the lens of faith. Now listen, I'm not telling you that everything will then be butterflies and rainbows and cloud nine. And if you just get through this one time of adversity, then you just look through faith and everything will be okay. It's not what I'm telling you. You still go through incredible challenges. But the reality is we change the way that we look at them. We change the way we look at our lives. So look at it through the lens of faith. Because the things we perceive to be setbacks, the adversities that we perceive to be setbacks are oftentimes setups for what God has for our lives. The things we perceive to be setbacks in our own lives are oftentimes what God uses as setups for the things He wants to do in our lives. The things He wants to change in our lives. The things He wants to do, miracles that He wants to have. To look through that lens of faith. Make no mistake about it, during those challenging times, the devil will get in your ear and he will say, well, this means that you've missed God. Well, this means that you're walking outside. This means that God has left you. This means that you're all alone. This couldn't be God's plan for your life. This couldn't be God's will for your life. You're going off track and it's all in an effort to get you to quit. All the things that he whispers in the back of your ear, it's all in an effort to get you to quit. I wonder how many of us have come right to the edge of our miracle, right to the edge of what God has planned for us, and we turned around because we've gotten so discouraged that we quit. We've listened to that voice in our ear and we've gotten so discouraged that we've given up. I wonder how many of us have come so close to what God has for us. That's why it says in Galatians chapter 6, in Galatians 6 and verse 9, it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest. Don't give up, because there is a time where the harvest is coming if we don't give up. If we don't give up, you just can't. So I know some of you are tired. I know some of you are discouraged. Look, I get that. I've read the prayer cards. I've talked with many of you. I've had a chance to do counseling. I know that many of you are discouraged. Many of you are walking through things. I know you might be walking through the most difficult part of your life. If there's one thing I can just encourage you this Christmas morning is don't give up. Don't give up. There is a harvest. There is a plan for your life. God has amazing things for your life. Don't give up. If there's one person here this morning that you think, I'm just going to quit. Don't give up. I just encourage you this Christmas. Make this Christmas your turning point where you say, I'm going to stand on God's word. I'm going to look at my life. I'm going to look closer through a lens of faith. I'm not going to give up. The power of God wants to touch you this Christmas. Look, all these other things, they're just trying to derail you from experiencing Emmanuel. Experiencing God with us. He'll help you look at people in your world a little bit differently. Love people deeper. He'll help you look at your life a little bit closer. Number three, as we close this morning, it'll help you to live bolder. Help you to live bolder. I can't imagine the pain that Mary and Joseph felt as they arrived in Bethlehem. Mary is 100 miles walking or donkey from anyone that she knows. 100 miles away from anybody else that she knows. Joseph is in a city full of everybody that's related to him. You understand this from the story. Everybody that's related to Joseph has also come back to Bethlehem. And they're all there in that city. And everybody that they know has rejected them. That not only do they have to bring their child into the world in the stable. And they've made all these sacrifices to bring the Savior into the world. And now everybody else has rejected them. Everybody that this city is full of. and not a single person in town. It's the equivalent, Mary and Joseph are in a Roman forced family reunion, all right? That's how this story has shaped up. So all of their extended family, everybody, think about the loneliness that that feels. All your extended family, all your relatives, all your cousins and uncles, everybody that you are related to are within walking distance of your brand new child, the Savior of the world that you brought into the world. And yet God has to bring shepherds and kings and others from around to come and visit the Christ child. See, Mary and Joseph are social outcasts. The way that Mary got pregnant and the way that they would have told this story would have been unacceptable to those in that culture and them at that time. And so they were outcasts. They were blackballed in this family. And so nobody comes to the manger. They were rejected by the people who should have loved them the most. And I don't know where you are this Christmas. I don't know if that resonates with you, if you feel rejected or you feel alone. I can't imagine that feeling of crushing loneliness for them. And you know, it's in these moments, it's easy for us to think that everybody has left us. And so maybe God has left us too. That everybody has left us alone. And so maybe God has walked away from us as well. I'm here to remind you that this Christmas season, the presence of adversity in your life is not the absence of God. The presence of adversity in your life is not the absence of God. And I don't care if everyone else has left you alone, God will never leave you. God loves you. And so if you hear nothing else this Christmas morning, you hear no other songs, you hear no other verse, nothing, God loves you. God hasn't left you alone. He's with you. He's with you. Think back to our story, right? Because even in those moments of loneliness in our story, even when you feel lonely, you're next to all of Joseph's kin and no one comes to visit, God will orchestrate events to bring smelly, sweaty shepherds to visit your newborn baby. Isn't that the weirdest part of the story? That's one of the strangest parts to me of the whole story. I've never met a woman who, after giving birth to a child, feels so lonely that she wants a bunch of strange, sweaty shepherds to show up to visit her newborn child. Like, what's up? I'm Bill, right? I'm here, right? Like, I've never, but God orchestrates the events to bring these guys. That's how good God is. The devil wants to sell you the lie that you're all alone. But I'm here to tell you this morning, this Christmas Sunday, that you are not. You are not alone. What happens when we believe that lie, we believe everybody's walked out on us. And we start to say, well, maybe I'm unsure of the plan God has for my life. Maybe those things he spoke to me years ago, maybe those, I'm just unsure about that now because everybody else has left me. So God maybe has left me and I've walked outside of it. You are not alone. God still has amazing things for your life. God still has a plan for you. And the words that he spoke to you so many years ago, he's going to bring them to pass in your life. God's plan, the presence of adversity in your life, the things that you come up, they do not mean the absence of God. God is still orchestrating events. You say, maybe I took a wrong step. In Psalms 23, God says, in Psalms say, even though I walk through the darkest valley, another version says, the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, you comfort me. It says, even though I go through the darkest parts of my life, I know God is still with me. Even though nobody walks on my right and on my left, God is on my right and on my left. God is my rear guard. God is with you. He'll strengthen you. He'll comfort you because that is how good our God is. That is the miracle of Christmas. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Some of you are here for whatever reason. You were invited. Some of you are here because it's Christmas. Some of you are here just because you're with your family, or whatever reason brought you here this morning. And some of you, you found yourself in this building, but you feel you're far from God. You feel like God is a million miles away. And so I don't know what circumstances brought you here, but I know what God would want to say to you this morning. The message of Christmas is that he loves you. And some of you feel that you have to get everything together, that you have to do this big checklist where you say, well, if I could just make myself like that type of person, then maybe God could love me. And I can tell you one thing this morning, it's that God loves you the way that you are. With all your pain, with all your brokenness, all your baggage, God loves you the way that you are. And if you would let him touch you, if you would let him touch you this morning, he would create a miracle and he would cause something beautiful to rise from your life. Every head's bowed, every eye is closed. It would be my honor to let you take that step, just to help you take that step. Listen, I'm not going to make you stand up or come to the front. I'm not, my goal this morning is not to embarrass you in front of your family. I'm not trying to do all of that. My only goal this morning is to introduce you to Jesus. to connect you with Jesus. That's what Christmas is about. Jesus is God with us. He came down. He died on the cross so that we could be saved, so we could experience the power of God in our lives. So this morning, every head is bowed. If that's you, you say, you know what? I want to have God with me. I want to have God with us. I want to surrender my life. I want to experience that. I want this Christmas to be the Christmas that I came home. If that's you this morning, if you've been running far from God, you feel like He's so far away, I want to encourage you this morning. You are one prayer away from the presence and the power of God in your life. You are one prayer away from that. I'm not going to embarrass you this morning. I won't make you stand up. But I want to ask you this morning, with every head bowed, would you do me the favor? If you want to be included in that prayer, would you just do me the favor and just slip your hand up right now? You say, include me in that prayer. Just right now, that's you. Thank you. That's you this Christmas. You say, today I want to change. That's you this morning. I want to give you the words and you pray them. We're going to pray them with you. Is there anybody else? You say, include me in that prayer. I'm not going to rush through this. If that's you this morning, you want to join that one? All right, guys, we're going to pray this morning. We're all going to pray with that one. The Bible says all of heaven rejoices over one that prays that prayer. We're going to celebrate with them. We're going to pray this with them. And if you're watching online, or you didn't raise your hand, or I didn't see it, heaven saw it. Come on, let's pray. Just say these words. I can give you them, but you have to mean them. Just say, Jesus, forgive me today for my sin. I come to you with all my pain and my brokenness, with all my issues. I surrender. I give my life to you. Help me to experience your power in my life. Say these words, be the Lord of my life. I give you my life. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for every single person here who would experience the power of God this Christmas. God, I thank you as we go from this place that you will touch us with a greater capacity to love. God, that we'll love people deeper than we ever have, that you would touch our lives. God, that you would help us to live and to look closer at the way that you are working in our lives, the circumstances that we walk through, to remember, God, that you are orchestrating events for your plan to unfold. And God, that we begin to live bolder. That if we feel lonely this Christmas time, God, that you would continue to show us that you are with us. That you are an ever-present help in times of trouble. And God, greater is He who lives on the inside of us than anyone in this world. So help us to live with boldness, Father. Help us to proclaim the light and the life of Jesus Christ this Christmas season. God, one more time, we celebrate the miracle of Christmas. We love you with all of our hearts, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, amen and amen. Guys, come on, let's celebrate what God has done this morning. Guys, I heard this song this week. I heard this song this week. I just fell in love with it. And so I asked the worship team to do it this morning. And so we're going to pass out the candles this morning during this song. It's a new one for you guys. I would encourage you. We're going to have the words on the screen. It's a simple melody, but it's not a simple song. It's not. So I would encourage you this morning to read the words, to begin to sing this song all together. Begin to really sing these words as a worship song as we hand out these candles. Come on, stand with me as we worship this morning. Let's sing.
Come behold the wondrous mystery in the dawning of the King. He the theme of heaven's praise. Robed in frail humanity, in our longing, in our darkness, now the light has come. Look to Christ who condescended, took own flesh to ransom us. Come behold the wondrous mystery, He the perfect Son of Man, in His living, in His suffering, never trace or stain of sin. See the true and better item come to save the hell-bound man. Christ the great and sure fulfillment of the law, Him we send. Come behold the wondrous mystery. The light upon a tree, in the skin of ruined sinners, meet the Lamb in victory. See the price of our redemption, see the Father's plan unfold, bringing many sons to glory, grace unmeasured, love untold. Come behold the wondrous mystery, slain by death, the God of life. But no grave could e'er restrain Him. Praise the Lord, He is alive. As we will be when He comes. Oh, what a foretaste of deliverance. How unwavering will bring our hope. Christ in power resurrected. As we
Father, this Christmas season, we praise and we worship You. What a foretaste of deliverance. The Father's plan untold, unfolded. This Christmas morning, as we light these candles, you know, it goes back to the first words that God spoke in the Bible, "Let there be light." And I believe that can be the miracle of Christmas for every single one of us, the dark parts in our lives. Parts of our lives that have, we've always thought, live in darkness, that we've always thought no light can make it there. That this Christmas light can shine there. If you let God touch you this Christmas, if you let Him speak those words into your life, there can be light in darkness. This little candle that I'm holding, this one that each of you, it's amazing. This candle is going to bring light to this entire room. I'm going to light mine, and then I'll light the ones in the front. They'll light the ones behind. It'll spread throughout. I just want you to watch that as the light grows from this little candle. Just what an amazing picture of what God can do in our lives. It's one of my favorite moments of the year. That this dark and cold sanctuary can be filled with all of us. Each of us holding just a little light. As we go out this Christmas season, I want you to keep that in mind, that if you let Him speak into your life, if you let God touch you, you can have that miracle in your life as well. And so we're going to sing as we begin this, and as we begin to pass this light back, and just continue to watch as it grows. Come on, let's sing together. Holy, holy. And then if you guys could just play this. Take a moment and look around you. Just a reminder of what your life can look like. If you let God speak into your life, let there be light. That's the miracle of Christmas. And all God's children said, amen and amen. Merry Christmas, everybody. Guys, have a blessed week. We'll see you next Sunday. Have an amazing Christmas. Love you guys.